From the 22, second and 10. Mariota to the goal line. Touchdown, Tennessee!
It's the Tennessee Titans coming to Gillette Stadium Saturday night for a divisional playoff game. They beat the Chiefs in an upset over the weekend, but will they be able to challenge the Patriots? It's Monday, January 8th. I'm Joe Sullivan. Chris Gasper is on assignment, and this is Season Ticket. Globe senior NFL writer Ben Bolin joins us via Skype. And Ben, I'm going to start things by quoting our mutual friend, Globe columnist Dan Shaughnessy. He is a friend of yours, right?
Of course, a good friend. Love Dan.
So on Twitter Sunday, this is what he wrote. The Patriots are the first team in NFL history awarded back-to-back bye weeks before the AFC Championship. Funny, of course, but too strong?
Too strong, but not that far off. I'd say it worked out pretty well for the Patriots, as these things tend to do. As I mentioned last week, the Chargers and the Ravens, two teams that could have given them a scare in the playoffs, didn't even make the field. And then I wrote last week, Joe, you'll remember this, the ranking the teams in order of who's most likely to knock off the Patriots. I had the Chiefs number one.
Yeah.
Chiefs number one, so they're out, of course. And I had the Titans at number four. So I just see this as a good matchup for the Patriots. It's going to be a tough uphill sledding for the Titans, not the most proficient offense, not a dominant defense. They're just kind of blah. They have the worst turnover ratio in the playoffs, 9-7 in the regular season. We're on the verge of firing their coach, but just announced yesterday after they beat the Chiefs that Mike Mularkey's coming back. So a nice season for the Titans, but I do think that this worked out pretty well for the Patriots.
Well, let's go over the Titans in a little more detail for the listeners. It was their first playoff win in 14 years, and Marcus Mariota, their quarterback, only threw for 205 yards, but he did two touchdowns, one kind of about as most unusual a touchdown you'll ever see.
Mariota to the line of scrimmage, maybe across the line. It deflects back to him for a touchdown for the moment.
If listeners didn't see the replay, he was rolling out, threw the pass into the end zone, and it was deflected by a Kansas City defensive back. Ball went up in the air. Mariota caught it and then ran it in for a touchdown. Have you ever seen anything like that, Ben?
I remember like 20 years ago, Brad Johnson, the quarterback of the Buccaneers, I think he scored a touchdown similarly where he threw it. The defensive lineman batted up in the air and he caught it and ran it in. But I just love seeing the box score saying Mariota throws touchdown pass to Mariota. pretty hilarious. And if there were fantasy football, his owners would have been thrilled with that outcome, a double touchdown. You know, I was curious they didn't review that more closely to see if he was over the line of scrimmage when he threw the ball, because I thought that was awfully close.
It was close, but he was not over.
He
did show the replay on TV. It was not over. It has to be your entire body. Even if one foot's behind, you're good.
I want to see, you know, the Zapruder film breakdown, you know, millimeter by millimeter breakdown of that, because I'm not totally convinced. And same with that that play last night in the Panthers-Saints game, that interception at the end, looked like clearly the guy dropped it and it should have been an incomplete pass. And, you know, Alberto Riveron, who overturns these ridiculous, you know, nitty-gritty calls, they're like, nope, it's good. Let's move on with the game. No problem there. So,
well, replay's out of control in my mind. It is just these super slow motion, looking as hard as you can to try to find to reverse something. It's got to stop. If it's obvious, reverse it. If not, keep it. It's taking too much time, and it's ridiculous. And the idea that officials, on football officials, can make the same type of decisions in real time is it's ridiculous, and it's got to stop. And your boy Riveron, let's get rid of him. I don't like what he's doing here.
My boy.
Yes, I'm giving him to
you. Why are you putting this on me, Joe? I don't want to belabor the point too much, and you know, we need to talk about the Titans here.
It
does seem like this weekend was an overcorrection to that. I think they got most of the replays right. There were some touchdown catches, the Jacksonville one in the back of the end zone. That looked, you know, again, very bang-bang, maybe could have gone either way, and they stayed with the calls on the field. And then the two plays that I was complaining about before, they didn't take enough of a look at it. So I think they're maybe overcorrecting due to some of that criticism.
I've had enough of replay. I'm ready to go back to no replay. But we digress. So looking for assets for the Titans, you didn't give us too many when you did your quick overview there. But can we give them grit as an asset, given that comeback on Saturday night on the road?
Grit, guts, poise, maturity. Yeah, coming back from 21-3 to win 22-21, you got to love, and on the road too. So this team is not going to get phased. You know, coming into Gillette is a whole other ball game. The Lighthouse, the Foghorn, Belichick, Ernie Adams, Brady, like that can be
the
kind
lighthouse?
Of intimidating.
That the light, you now find the Lighthouse intimidating?
I mean, you know, I melt. I pee my pants every time I see that show. Just so intimidating. It reminds me of Lawrence Taylor.
Don't you think? Don't you think like the Kraft family now regrets having the Lighthouse? That could be, 6,000 more seats there if they had enclosed the stadium.
Well, that's a good point. They're looking for every nook and cranny. But no, I think they love it. It's kind of the stadium's defining feature. You know, like when you think of Gillette Stadium and you see a silhouette image, you know, you got the Lighthouse there. So I think it's pretty cool.
Let's get back to the Titans again. I'm just taking tangent after tangent here, and I'm sorry. So Marcus Mariota, their quarterback, you know, Heisman Trophy winner at Oregon, a dual threat quarterback, good with his feet. I think quarterbacks like him give the Patriots trouble. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, the Titans are a team where they can control the clock for 35 minutes of the game. They're going to try to run the ball, and Mariota is a big part of that. Great mobility, obviously, and a threat. He rushed for 5 touchdowns this year, 312 yards. So not only on the broken down plays, but on design bootlegs and things like that. And they probably won't have DeMarco Murray, which should be a big loss. But they have Derrick Henry, a big bulldozer of a running back. So I imagine we'll see a lot of those guys. And, you know, they can play smart football and keep it away from the Patriots and limit the Patriots' possessions. And they're going to have to do that. But we've even seen, I mean, the Pittsburgh game was pretty much that. And the Patriots still won. The Patriots have had games where they have 25, 27 minutes of possession, and they still put up 27 points and they still win. And it's, you know, Mariota and the Titans still ultimately, they can control the clock all they want, but they're going to have to hit big plays down the field. And Mariota's had a shaky year as a passer. He started 15 games, only 13 touchdowns and had 15 picks. So one interception per game, towards the bottom of the league in most of the passing statistics. He's got some weapons, Delanie Walker, a tight end. Rishard Matthews is a good physical wide receiver. Eric Decker, we know him pretty well. Henry and maybe if DeMarco Murray plays, those guys can be hit out of the backfield as well. But they just don't have the explosive playmakers. And the Patriots are getting healthier on defense, should be getting Alan Branch back, and Kyle Van Noy should be a lot healthier now. And the secondary is intact, of course.
Ben, we won't know that until the injury report comes out, all right? We'll just put the injuries on the injury report like we're required to do.
Yeah, you had to
stop
get that
speculating.
Dig in there, didn't you? Had to get that dig in there, didn't
I
you?
I did. I want to talk about running the ball. I think, if we're looking for an interesting game here and not a blowout, I think we all are leaning toward thinking this is a blowout. But if the Titans have any chance at all, they've got to run the ball and possess it. Because this is the formula to beat the Patriots. It hasn't changed. You've got to keep the ball away from Brady as much as possible. So they're going to have to run the ball. So tell me about Derrick Henry. He had a great college career at Alabama, but what about him in the NFL? We don't see the Titans that much. You know, usually the Titans games, who's like Rich Gannon's doing the Titans games. You know, Tony Romo, that's the first time. He was in Jacksonville. He's never seen the Titans this year, I'm willing to bet. Nance and
yeah,
Romo, right?
I bet you're right on that. Derrick Henry is a tank, 6'3", 247 pounds. So he's a linebacker out there rushing the football. Reminds me of your boy Brandon Jacobs from the Giants. So similar rushing style. Dominant in college, has, you know, been okay in the pros. He's averaging 4.3 yards per carry in his short 2-year career, but, you know, 490 rushing yards his rookie year, 744 this year, 10 total touchdowns. He's probably more of the short yardage goal line guy. So again, with DeMarco Murray being questionable, and from what I've read, he's likely not to play this week.
So it's a knee injury with him, right?
Third degree MCL tear.
So it's usually 6 weeks. So he's not going to play. They could use him.
Yeah, so they're going to have to grind the clock and, you know, third down conversions and Mariota picking up plays with his feet outside the pocket. But it's going to take more than that. You can't just run the ball and dominate the clock. You're going to have to hit an 83-yard touchdown or make one or two big plays on defense or special teams, because the Patriots just play such sound football, especially at home. They're going to have to score at least 27 points, I would think, to be able to keep pace. And that just hasn't been their MO for the most part. Again, we don't quite know which Patriots team is coming out here. They're getting a lot of guys back from injury. Rex Burkhead, James White, Chris Hogan, maybe. Again, are these guys going to be able to fit seamlessly into the offense? Are they going to click? And is it going to be like that Raiders game where they're just zipping down the field? Or is it going to be like the last month or so where it's been much more of a grind, and the Patriots' run defense has kind of struggled as well? So it's looking like it'll be a comfortable 10 or 14-point win. just because I don't believe that much in the Titans. But I'm not sure where the Patriots are at right now.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a short break. We'll bring Ben back, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the Titans' defense and then about the other games played over the weekend and what they could mean for the Patriots. Welcome back. If you like Season Ticket, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribing is the best way to make sure you get the latest episode as soon as it's available. Back now with Globe senior NFL writer Ben Volen. So, Ben, just one last thing about the Titans and defensively. The formula to beat the Patriots, I think, I don't think it's that complicated. Are they capable of doing that?
You have to be able to get pressure with Brady with your front four, but what we've seen recently, and I've written about in the Globe, is playing press man and getting up on the Patriots receivers and not letting them get off the line of scrimmage, because they haven't proven that they can fight through it and create separation and get open. Now, I just don't know if the Titans have that type of secondary. They do have our friend Logan Ryan back.
One of three expatriates on the Titans, Josh Klein, the offensive guard. And then Matt Castle is one of their backup quarterbacks.
Believe it or not, yeah. Logan Ryan, obviously the only one of those players having, or Klein has an impact as well. He's a starter, but Logan Ryan having the bigger impact on defense. Did not have an interception this season. He was kind of a ball hawk for the Patriots, but didn't work out as well for the Titans. You know, again, their pass defense, I think, is like a lot of the rest of their defense. It's okay. Actually, they were 25th in the league in pass defense this year, but then again, they also, that depends on pass attempts and things of that nature as well. I believe they had the most pass attempts against. Teams threw the most against them this year, so your stats are going to be skewed. Their pressure up front.
That's really interesting. Ben, wait a second. So their opponents threw the most passes in the league. Is that right? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, 605 pass attempts against this year. That's a lot.
So usually the reason for that is that they stopped the run well. So is that the case here?
The rush defense is good. Yeah, absolutely. They are fourth in the league against the run, 3.6 yards per carry. That's very good. Who knows? Some of that might be based on your opponent. They had the sixth fewest rushing attempts against this year. So teams were passing a lot and not running the ball, which actually suggests they were playing from ahead a lot, which I don't know if they were, to be honest. But kind of a weird breakdown there. Teams were not afraid of their secondary. They were throwing a lot on the Titans and not running the ball as much. Maybe they are stout up front with the defensive line. But again, I'd still take my chances with Deion Lewis and Rex Burkhead, assuming he comes back. And that's still kind of the focal point of the Patriots offense, and they should still feed those guys. Defensively, the pass rush, Brian Arakpo, 7 sacks. Derek Morgan had 7.5 sacks. Jarrell Casey, their nose tackle, had 6. He's probably the best defender, Jarrell Casey. He's going to be a problem in the middle for David Andrews and Joe Tooney. But they have an okay pass rush. It's not the most dominant. It's not going to be the toughest one the Patriots face this year. Nothing about this Titans defense screams shutdown. They play like that 3-4 scheme. I don't think they have the most physical secondary. The Patriots certainly know all of Logan Ryan's pluses and minuses as a player. So I just don't see the Titans, unless they can create a sack strip or Brady has an uncharacteristically bad game and throws a couple picks, I just don't see how they're going to be able to slow down the Patriots too much.
Yeah, they're doomed. Let's face it. This is over before it starts. Hey, I just wanted to get your opinion on the other games that were played this weekend. We'll start with the other AFC game, the Jaguars and the Bills. It was like we were in a time machine. We were back in 1950s. Defense. But Jacksonville's defense is formidable, don't you think?
Jacksonville's defense is very good. Buffalo's is on the rise. That game was as much about inept offense, though. I mean, both of those teams had no answers whatsoever. Blake Bortles, I think, became the fifth quarterback in playoff history to have more than 23 attempts and throw for 87 yards or fewer, something like that. It was a woeful performance passing the ball. And again, to beat the Patriots, you can't just run. You got to be able to throw. Neither of those teams had any sort of passing game whatsoever. I think I wrote in that article last week when I was ranking the contenders, I said, I don't see how the Jaguars offense would be able to function against the Patriots. And I certainly stand by that after the Bills game. And I know now the Jaguars play the Steelers in the other divisional round game. And I know the Jaguars went into Pittsburgh and smacked them in the mouth earlier in the regular season, 30-9, and Ben Roethlisberger threw five picks. But their offense is atrocious, and the Steelers are a much better team now than they were back then on both sides of the ball, defensively certainly, and the offense has really started clicking with Big Ben and Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. So the Steelers are going to crush the Jaguars. I have no doubt about that, and it's going to set up the matchup that we all want to see, Patriots-Steelers in the AFC Championship.
Hey, I agree. So in the NFC, the Atlanta Falcons, in another fairly low-scoring game, beat the Rams in Los Angeles. I liked what I saw there, Ben. I think they're really dangerous.
Absolutely. I mean, so much credit to the Atlanta Falcons and Dan Quinn for coming back from that devastating Super Bowl loss. And they, you know, they squeaked into the playoffs, but they're playing well at the season's crucial moments. You know, went into L.A., a good, solid Rams team on both sides of the ball, and the Falcons took care of business. And now they play the Eagles in the second round. The Eagles look like a shell of themselves with Nick Foles at quarterback. The Falcons are the first team in playoff history to be a 6 seed and be favored over a 1 seed, and especially on the road as well. I think it's a good chance the Falcons are looking at back-to-back spots in the NFC Championship game. So, and they still have that young, fast defense, and Matt Ryan is still a dangerous quarterback. That absolutely looks like a dangerous team that could make even another Super Bowl run.
No, I hate when we agree, but we do there. Now, the Saints held on to beat Carolina in the last game Sunday, and I guess I'm still jaded. And I get this way about when teams really don't put up an effort against the Patriots. And that's the case of the Saints back in September, where they, in their home field, were just destroyed by the Patriots. And so they hung on to beat Carolina yesterday. But as opposed to the Falcons, I'm just not impressed. I'm really not.
Well, if you want some disagreement, Joe, you've got it. Because I think the Saints are very dangerous and probably are the worst matchup for the Patriots in the Super Bowl. They've got a great quarterback and a great passing offense. Michael Thomas, big physical receiver, tough to defend. Those running backs, Joe, Kamara and Ingram, they hadn't gotten going yet in the Week 2 matchup that the Patriots won 36-20. 1,500 plus yards for both of those guys this year from scrimmage. Just unbelievable. And, I mean, remember the Chiefs game, the Panthers game, the teams that have the running backs that can kind of do everything, those give the Patriots defense all kinds of problems. So you have such a dynamic offense. And that defense has been much, much improved. Believe it or not, they're kind of like the Patriots. They started off horribly. They gave up 555 yards to the Patriots in Week 2. They were dead last in the league. Well, they finished the year 10th in points allowed and 17th in yards. Pretty respectable. They really tightened up that defense. Kind of a young defense, a lot of new pieces. Cam Jordan's had a defensive player of the year type season, 13 sacks, had a pick six, a couple forced fumbles. I remember he had a big sack against Nate Solder, really gave him some problems that Week 2 game. Saints-Vikings, by far the best matchup of the weekend. It's really the only, I think, great game of the four matchups, like very even, two really good defenses. Of the four teams left, I believe you've got four top 10 scoring defenses in the NFC. So a lot of teams that can slow down the Patriots, and that Vikings Saints game is going to be a lot of fun on Sunday.
Well, it sounds like you're forming a second line, marching behind the Saints. You have your parasol. You're going to twirl it in the air as you march behind your New Orleans Saints there, Ben.
You know what? I'll be leading the Mardi Gras parade. Throw the beads around me. Saints Patriots would be a great Super Bowl. Especially also, I mean, Sean Payton, talk about a guy that is a real football X's and O's guy, someone who could give Belichick some problems, I think. There was that 2009 game where the Saints blew the doors off the Patriots down at the Superdome. The Patriots won't have a home field advantage. They'll be playing in a dome where the Saints, that's what they're built for. Again, we don't know what team the Patriots are right now with all these guys coming back, but the Saints are really dangerous right now, and they could go on the road and knock off the Vikings, absolutely.
All right, Ben, put your Mardi Gras beads on and go back to work. Thank you so much for joining us, and you can also find Ben on Twitter at Ben Volen. Ben, thank you for coming on Season Ticket.
Thanks, and check out tomorrow's Globe in print and online. I'm going to have a pretty detailed film breakdown of the Titans, and we'll break it all down and explain why the Patriots are going to win this game by 14.
I think you're right. That's it for this edition of Season Ticket, a production of the Boston Globe and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell a friend and leave us a review. I'm Joe Sullivan. We'll talk to you tomorrow.